This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. In recent years, schools across the country have come under fire for decreasing the amount of physical activity in the school day. The hope was that more time in a classroom would improve test scores and academic performance. But an interesting body of research, including some at West Virginia University, is showing that students who are given time for physical activity tend to perform better on tests and have an easier time concentrating. Kara Lofton reports.
In the gym at West Virginia University College of Physical Activity and Sports Sciences, doctoral students Hannah Kipfer and Annie Mackamer are throwing a medicine ball back and forth. They are demonstrating some of the physical activity students might do during the course of a school day.
So keep count, and then at the end, we'll each have our own number, and we'll find the mean of all the numbers, the mode of all the numbers, and the median. Ready? Set. Go.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that children participate in at least an hour of physical activity daily. According to a 2013 study, only a quarter of U.S. students reported actually achieving that goal.
The U.S. has lagged behind a lot of other countries in the world, like Finland and Japan, other nations that have excelled in mathematics and English, where we've started to lag behind.
That's WVU professor James Hannon.
At the same time, we have over the years cut physical activity opportunities back in school. So.
Hannon has overseen several studies in the last couple years around physical activity and academic performance. In one study, his group had some students take a mathematics test after 20 minutes of vigorous physical activity. Meanwhile, another group of classmates watched a 20-minute video on women's soccer.
And they performed significantly better after engaging in the aerobic exercise. So it was anywhere from 11 to 22% improvement on their math test actual test score after engaging in the aerobic exercise.
According to other studies Hannon has done, resistance exercise, such as weight training, has also shown promising results in students' academic improvement. But in order to incorporate physical activity into the school day in a more comprehensive way, schools need policies that support those initiatives. In 2014, West Virginia passed a bill that said, among other things, West Virginia elementary school students were required to have at least 30 minutes of physical education 3 days a week and 30 minutes of recess daily.
So what that means is that it challenges administrators and it challenges classroom teachers, staff, to be more cognizant of how important physical activity is throughout the school day.
That's Emily Jones, a colleague of James Hannon at WVU.
So that might be classroom activity breaks or energizers, where after a certain period of time, kids can actually get up out of their chair, whether it's before testing, after testing, or throughout the school day. Not reducing or eliminating recess. You know, so not taking away recess for poor behavior or not, so the value of physical activity throughout the school day.
Doctoral students Kipfer and Mackamer say teachers can incorporate more physical activity into their day in two easy ways. First, take a brain break, which is basically just a minute or two when kids can get up and move through silly activities like jumping jacks to the alphabet.
A, apple. B, banana.
The next is by actually incorporating physical activity into lessons. For instance, learning the mean, median, and mode by doing push-ups like you heard at the beginning of this story. The kids love it, but for teachers, it isn't always as easy.
And some of the barriers was accessibility of time. That's a big thing that we see is scheduling within the school day, and they have to change their lesson plan, essentially, and that takes time out of a teacher's workday.
That was Annie Mackamer. She says even though there were some barriers to incorporating what they called active lessons into classes, participating teachers did report their students were able to concentrate more at the end. Researchers like Mackamer and Hannon are now looking to find out what types of exercise are most effective at improving academic performance. In the meantime, simply incorporating some kind, any kind of physical activity into the school day seems to help. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
This is West Virginia Morning, coming up on 7:49. Some fog this morning, partly sunny skies today, temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. There's a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the east overnight with lows in the 60s, mostly sunny on Wednesday, but with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, temperatures in the 80s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
Health experts say that greasy, salty foods can be bad for your health, especially when you don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. West Virginians rank second in the nation for obesity and third for diabetes. The problem is complicated, and there are a lot of reasons people eat the way they do. This week's episode of Inside Appalachia explores how the food we eat is influenced by our access to grocery stores. This morning, we'll hear another excerpt from the episode. Roxy Todd takes us back to McDowell County, where she found that even when people can afford groceries, that doesn't mean they buy healthy food.
Big Four.
Back at the Big Four gas station in Kimball, down the highway from the abandoned Walmart, Winfred Mullen says the cost of food at the local grocery store is one reason he's willing to drive further to do his shopping.
Makes us have to drive 30 miles to a grocery store. We have to go to Bluefield to the store because you can't afford to go to Goodson's. They charge too much.
He says he doesn't like to eat vegetables. I asked what his favorite food is to cook at home.
Cheeseburgers, fried on a stove, because you got to have the grease in it. Get you some good, fix you a big pot of pinto beans. You know, anything with grease and salt, you know, it's good.
There are lots of people who eat like Mullins. People who have good jobs, access to vehicles, people who just prefer the greasy, salty food. Actually, I love that stuff too. And there are plenty of people who just don't eat vegetables, ever. Kristen McCartney is a registered dietitian who works with the West Virginia Family and Nutrition Program out of West Virginia University. She says access to grocery stores is a big problem, but it's not the only challenge.
I think there's still a struggle in West Virginia to get people to eat vegetables. We're one of the lowest states in vegetable consumption.
McCartney teaches people how to shop and cook healthier food. One of the main obstacles for families is figuring out how to get your kids to eat the foods you want them to eat.
If I'm a parent and I'm on a limited budget, my number one goal is to get something my child will eat so they're not hungry.
And that's especially tough for parents with kids who are picky eaters and aren't inclined to try, say, steamed broccoli or roasted sweet potatoes.
There's a great likelihood they're not going to want to eat things at the first shot or even the second or even the third. So for a low-income family, you don't have the ability to waste that on these repeated exposures.
And McCartney says this is part of the reason why so many people who are low income end up buying less than healthy options for their families.
It's not for a lack of trying. It's not for a lack of desire to feed their families. It's just they're stuck in a cycle of, you know, trying to get the most out of that dollar to keep their kids full, to, you know, not be hungry.
McCartney says lack of access to transportation is another big challenge for many West Virginians. She remembers one time when she saw a woman waiting for more than an hour outside a grocery store with a full cart of food.
And she had like maybe a 2-year-old or something in her shopping cart. I'm like, what is she doing?
The woman was waiting for a cab. McCartney asked her if she needed a ride. And at first the woman refused, but the cab still didn't come. So eventually McCartney did give her and her son a ride home and helped her carry her bags up the 3 flights of stairs to her apartment. McCartney says the experience helped her understand the complexity of buying groceries for lots of families.
It was just like the one story that's always going to stand out to me about what our target audience for our program goes through. And when you say you should buy this or that or do things this way, like something as simple as getting home from the grocery store and lugging all your bags up to the, you know what I mean? All of those things that I think some of us take for granted, that the barriers they have to overcome. It was just, I won't forget it.
This reminds me of something Sharon Stauer said. She's the woman I met at the Wendy's in Welch. While we're talking, families with children begin to sit down to eat beside us. Stauer says it's not cheap to eat out, even at Wendy's, but it sure is convenient.
It's a lot easier to go coming here if you've got kids, just like right up there, see. They buy stuff because it's easy to prepare, and the kids like it, like chicken nuggets and stuff like that.
I asked her if she thinks a lot of these kids' parents can afford to buy fresh vegetables for them to eat at home.
Well, most people around here, they raise gardens. See, I raise gardens, and I'm a widow, but I still like to raise a garden.
And that's what brought Stowers to the shopping center this afternoon. Just before she stopped at Wendy's to grab a bite to eat, she bought some pepper plants from the Magic Mart across the street.
This makes three times I have bought plants and flowers are at Magic Mart.
She says her small garden helps to provide at least some of the food she eats. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in McDowell County.
That story is part of the latest episode of Inside Appalachia called What Happens When Walmart Closes in One Coal Community. Tomorrow, we'll listen to another story from this episode here on West Virginia Morning.